don't be intent on killing him. That's this quotation that I have up here is from the Message version or paraphrase of the Bible. Just don't kill him. Don't let your anger control you. You've got to be in control of yourself and not let your anger at whatever defiance they've done get the best of you. You know, stay above that. Stay above that. And women are so much better at doing this. I mean, I just have an issue myself of losing control. And so be careful, especially men, in not losing control. Titus chapter 2 and verse 4 instructs the older women, and I don't know if we have any here, but okay. Titus 2 and verse 4, verse 3, in the same way, older women are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not addicted to much wine. They are to teach what is good, so they may encourage the younger women to love their husband and to love their children. So the younger women need to be taught and use the older ones as an example. Now, in the book, it talks about seeking out those that you know. It's okay to ask for help, but please consider the track record of the source. Now, what do we mean by that? Okay, exactly. See how they raise their own family. And be careful, you know, who you seek advice from. Be very careful about that, because sometimes women can be devious, but that's okay. That's another discussion. It's okay to ask for help, but please consider the track record and who you're seeking help from so that you'll get good, sound advice that you can depend on. And when you get that advice, listen to it. Please listen to it. Hopefully they're offering what I like to call constructive criticism. And as a Bible class teacher, you know, I try to be open to constructive criticism. So every once in a while, people will mention to me something that maybe they didn't like the way I said it, they didn't like what I did, and yeah, I take that into consideration. So as a parent that's seeking advice from someone else, when they offer that advice, listen to it and see if it does, if you can't do that. On page 1917, I'm sorry, there's a paragraph that's kind of in darker ink and indented and all that stuff, and it's from a man who is well known over the years to be somewhat of an expert in advising parents on raising children. The Battle of the Wills. The defiant will, and it's going to test you over and over and over again. Now, I really don't have a lot of experience with that, but I've known parents that have a child with defiant will, and they've got their hands full. The classroom teacher, I don't see that many of our teachers here, it's normal, but and the lawmen see the results every day of parents who don't do their job, parents who don't act as parents ought to act in raising their children. That's a responsibility that God has placed in your hands, and you need to do the best job you can with it. You need to do the best job you can with it. I'm going to read just a little bit on page 17, the beginning and the end of this paragraph. From this man, in my opinion, spankings should be reserved for the moment a child, age 10 or less, expresses a defiant, I will not, or you shut up. When a youngster tries this kind of stiff-necked rebellion, you had better take it out of him, and pain is a marvelous purifier. You have got to let that child know that he needs to respect you as the adult, you as the parent, and not to, you know, act that way, not to talk that way. Children are seeking to find acceptable behavior. And what those limits are, it's up to the parent to make sure they set those limits, set those boundaries, and that the child knows that when they cross those boundaries, something bad is going to happen. Maybe it's withholding, you know, one of their favorite toys. Maybe it's some privilege that you're going to take away from them. Maybe it's even up to a spanking. There are different things that you can do along the way, but you need to establish that you're the parent. Yes. I think you're very fortunate. Well, for some reason, well, that's a record. We need to get a banner and hang it on the wall for that. Well, that's good. I'm glad you were able to, you know, to maintain without having to go that far. But that's good. Okay, true confessions of a strong-willed child. Sorry. Okay. In the very last sentence of this paragraph, he says, "It is the ultimate paradox of childhood that a youngster wants to be controlled, but he insists that his parents earn the right to control him." You've got to earn that right. He's not going to just do it automatically. And the more strong-willed or stiff-willed he is, the harder it's going to be. Now, let's think about, let's go back in the Old Testament a little bit, and there's a passage in Isaiah chapter 1. And I didn't, most of these passages have to do with the nation of Judah. But when God was dealing with, after the kingdom split and we've got the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, which kingdom was sometimes good and sometimes bad? Okay, the southern kingdom, sometimes they would, you know, start doing right, but then turn around and they'd start doing wrong again. Now, which kingdom was almost always bad? The northern kingdom. And so God would send messengers to them. God would rebuke them. God would send enemies to them. He was trying to get them. He was trying to punish them and discipline them to get them to want to turn back to God. A lot like what happened in the book of Judges. You know, people would turn away from God. He would bring in someone to oppress. They would cry out to God. They would turn their hearts back right. And God would send a judge to deliver them. But in, I want to read some of this in Isaiah, and this has to do with the, Isaiah is warning and telling what God thinks about the southern kingdom of Judah, He did do the same thing with the northern kingdom, but particularly in Isaiah writing to Judah. Listen, heavens, and pay attention, earth. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 2. For the Lord has spoken. I have raised children and brought them up, but they've rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, the donkey its master's feeding trough, but Israel does not know. My people don't understand. They have, verse 4, they have abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. Verse 5, do you want more beatings? Why do you keep rebelling? The whole heart is hurt and the whole heart is sick. And it goes on and on to describe that they had, you know, turned away from God. And he, like a good parent, was trying to discipline them and encourage them to turn back to him and start doing right. So, now, we got the two kingdoms, the northern kingdom that never, once they started away from God, they never turned back to God. And the southern kingdom, which had its ups and downs. Now, after both kingdoms had been disciplined by God, how did the northern kingdom respond to God's discipline? They didn't. They, I don't care what you do to me, God, I'm never turning back to you. And what eventually happened to that northern kingdom? They were permanently took off the map. They were led away into Assyrian captivity, I believe, and never to be known of as a nation or group of people again. They had their chance. God sent prophet, that chance says, okay, time and time again. You want to teach? Yeah, they had their chance. Yeah. And yet, they never turned back to him. I mean, that's got to hurt a parent when they're trying to discipline a child and they keep at it and they're patient and they're trying everything they can think of. And yet the child keeps turning away. It's a heartbreaker. Of course, the southern kingdom, how did they respond to God's punishments? They would turn back for a while. Then they'd get into trouble again. They'd be turned away to the bad ways of the other people living in around them. Now, what eventually happened to them? God sent them to their room. You go to your room, which is Babylon, and you stay there for a while. And then he brought them back, and when they had learned their lesson, he brought them back and let them reestablish relationship with him. So as parents, we've got to be patient with our children, and we've got to keep trying. And we've got to keep in mind that maybe, just maybe, we might not ever reach them. But we're going to keep trying. Their response is their responsibility. How we approach them, how we patiently try to discipline them and lovingly try to get them to come back, that's our responsibility. That's the parent's responsibility. The child might not respond, but we're going to do everything we can to encourage that to happen. Isaiah 40 and verse 2. Verses 1 and 2, comfort my people, says the Lord. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and announce to her that her time of forced labor is over, her iniquity has been pardoned, and she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. So the time of punishment had ended, and now the Lord wants to comfort them and wrap his arms around them and bring them back into a loving parent-child relationship, which he did when he brought them back from Babylon. Okay. The beginning on page 18 in our book, there are five suggestions. The one is starting early, and our verse in Proverbs 19 to reach out to your child while there is still yet hope. Proverbs 22, verse 15. I wanted to go back to Proverbs 19 and verse 18. Discipline your son while there is hope. Just don't kill him. But go down to verse 20. Listen to counsel and receive instruction so that you may be wise later in life. So while you're raising your child, it's okay to reach out for help. And it's counsel, especially if you're dealing with a strong-willed child. And if you need more help than what we're going to talk about in class, I encourage you to seek that. And if I can advise you or help you in a direction, not that I have a lot of experience, but I do know some resources that you can turn to that will help you. Yes. What do y'all think about that? One of the qualifications for being considered as an elder is having raised believing children. What else did you say? I forgot. You know, is that perhaps why God wanted that to be one of the qualifications, that we could at least have something of a track record to go on? That's a truism that in general works. On your knees. Okay. Did you have one? Exactly. I will send you to the guy right behind you, Mr. Barker. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Nick. That's good. As we, you know, the qualifications of elder are there so that we can, you know, shepherd the flock or look out for the flock. And when we see a problem, maybe try to find a way to approach that or to be available so that if someone does seek counsel, and occasionally some of the members here do, that we can offer that to them out of some of our experience. When they leave the womb, okay. Proverbs 22 and verse 15, the Bible says, foolishness is tangled up in the heart of a youth. The rod of discipline will drive it away from him. You know, there's discipline that's approved of in the Bible. Proverbs 13 and verse 24 tells us to be diligent. Has anybody watched any sporting events, either live or on TV, in the last couple of weeks? A lot of sporting things are going on now. Football season's wrapping up. Basketball season's in full swing. And baseball is right around the corner. And I'm not going to mention hockey. I don't consider that a sport. But I'm sorry, I just don't. But when the referee makes a bad call, you know, it kind of upsets you. Maybe it upsets you because they made a bad call against your team. They're only human, and that's really part of the game. To me, that's part of the game is the humanity of the referees and how they call things, and that's just sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't. Even a bad call, sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't. Be consistent. You know, a lot of times you'll yell out to the ref, you call it both ways, ref, you know, because you see your team is getting called for something that the other team's doing the same exact thing and they don't get called. That's not fair. So you tell the ref to call them both ways. And so the parents have to be consistent also. The child will see that inconsistency just as clearly as we see an inconsistency with a referee in a sporting event that makes a bad call. Wait a minute. Yeah. Well, I only do that in front of the TV. Oh, okay. I started to say that he seen me the other day. Okay. Just a point of humor. We went to a basketball, Maggie plays basketball, second grade basketball, girls basketball. And going into the fourth quarter with a few minutes, with 18 seconds left, the score's tied 1-1. 1-1. There's 18 seconds left. And I'm not going to tell you how the game came out, but how it got to be 1-1 is so interesting. Early in the game, within the first minute or so, the other team got the ball, shot at our basket, and made it. So the scorekeeper didn't know what to do. I mean, she made a basket, but she made it in the wrong goal. So he gave each team 1 point. He split the difference and gave each team 1 point. And so it stayed that way the whole game. Down to the last 18 seconds when a basket was finally made and, it was a real, what I call it, a nerve-wracking experience. But the referees did make fair calls. I believe they made fair calls. Be diligent. Children want to know where the boundaries are and what happens when they get crossed. So make sure that you're communicating with your children and that they know that, you know, it's wrong for them to do something. And when they do it, they're going to get in trouble. You know, it's like, you know, you tell them, you know, whatever, there's a note up here that says, don't touch the microphone. This microphone here has got issues somehow. Don't touch the microphone. Y'all can't see it. There's a note up here. I'm not touching the microphone. Yeah, I'm not touching the microphone. I'm doing everything but touching the microphone. That's what, I also want to see what happens. You know, where is it loose? Why can't we tighten it up? But that's the way kids are. You want to see how close you can get to that boundary and then maybe see what happens when you cross it. And that's where parents come in. That's where parents come in. Starting early. Now, I did want to ask this question. If you haven't been a good parent, you haven't been a diligent parent. And most of you are. I mean, there's so many good parents here. You know, I'm preaching to the choir just about. Not that we have a choir, but you know, all of you, for the most part, are pretty good parents. I don't know any bad parents here, for that matter. As much as I know any of you, you're all good parents. But is it ever too late to start trying to discipline your child? Right. Thank you very much. It's never too late to be an example and, you know, do what you can no matter how late it is. You know, don't just let things keep going downhill. At least try to stop the damage. Right. Do your best to start early, but you know, once you failed as a parent to start early and things have already gotten out of hand, you know, try to stop the damage. Try to stop the damage, however you can. Let them know that their behavior in society in just a few years is going to be shaped by what they're going through right now. Along the same lines, is it ever too late for a person to change their heart and turn to God? No. We can always, and whenever we start to see ourselves slip, you know, you might think, I've done so many bad things in my life, there's no hope for me. Yeah, there is. Yeah, there is. In our life, before God, we can always turn back to Him. As that, you know, we talk about the son, I believe it's Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son. It could have been years, yeah. Yeah, he wanted that son back a lot, and he was looking for him. Every day he would go look, hoping that he'd see him coming. And one day he did. So, when you know, no matter how old you are, what you've done, or how bad of habits you've developed because of environment or heredity or bad parenting or whatever it might have been, you're still responsible for yourself, and it's never too late to turn to God and try to straighten your life out. It's never too late. Thank you. Yes. Mm-hmm. And they're seeing you as a parent set a good example. And they're going to know that you tried everything you could at home to keep them on the right track. And that's what you need to keep doing. And we need to encourage. One of the reasons Hebrews 10:25 says that we come together not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but we come together so that we can encourage each other. And I see a bunch of good people here. I see a bunch of good parents, young parents and older parents, and people that have been through a whole lot in this life and have blessed my generation, you know, the generation before me. Yes, there was a generation older than me. And they have blessed me. And I received their blessings and all the good things they did, making you know, the country, society, and everything what it is. And I love that. And, you know, we need to encourage each other in trying to do right. What was the word? Exhorting one another as you see the day approaching. And the word exhort has to do with what's going to happen in the future. You know, I can't do anything about the past. I can't go back and fix something I did wrong. I can learn from it. I can try to fix in my mind that I'm not going to make that same mistake again. I'm going to do everything I can to avoid doing that wrong. But going forward, we need to exhort and encourage one another to keep doing right. That's one of the things that we come together for. Okay. I'll take that as an amen and move on. Stay balanced. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom. The rod and reproof gives wisdom. Now, in the New Testament, it does take verbal correction and sometimes physical punishment. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, one that we're all familiar with. All Scripture, you know, the Scripture, all of our Scripture is given by, is inspired by God, is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We need to let the Word of God correct us and reprove us and straighten us out when we've done wrong. And that's why we need to keep reading it individually, not just when we come together, not just because we got a Bible lesson, we got to get ready, but individually for your own personal benefit. Let God teach you through His Word. Let God mold you and shape you through His Word. He corrects us. He wants us to do right so that we can be the kind of people He wants us to be, so that we can bring Him the glory for sure that's due Him, but that He wants us to be able to bring Him as His people. Again, children want to know where the boundaries are and what happens when they get crossed. And we're going to have to be diligent with our children, and we're going to have to be diligent with ourselves in learning about God. You know, keep reading. Keep reading, keep studying, keep letting this Word shape and mold your heart and your actions and the way you look at other people. Janet, do you think I have changed in my outlook on other people over the years? Okay, so... yeah, and I still have my faults. I still see somebody, and I have a bad reaction sometimes. But, you know, for the most part, I start thinking, you know, how is it that I might be able to reach this person? What in the world has this person been through that's caused them to be? And, you know, your heart just goes out to people sometimes. Because, and Janet and I, and a lot of us here, live in a bubble. You know, we're sheltered from a lot of the bad stuff on the outside of this, you know, in the outside world. And thank goodness for the good lawmen that keep us separated from all the bad guys. But for the most part, you know, we're not in contact with a whole lot of people in the world that don't have life nearly as easy as we do. So let's be thankful for that. You know, use what God has given us for His glory, and let's have a good outlook on other people. And let's be careful raising our children, because everything that we do, our children are taking note of. And in their mind, it's going to click, you know, I want to be just like Daddy in this situation, or I don't want to be just like Daddy in this situation. I remember seeing my daddy do something or say something, and when I grow up, I don't want to be anything like that. Whatever you're doing, your children are taking note of how you're acting. You're an example, like it or not, good or bad, you're an example. Okay, I think I'm going to stop right there. Does anybody have any comments or questions they'd like to introduce here? I do appreciate your attention and your participation. You know, I look forward to seeing you again Wednesday. We'll go through some of the questions in our workbook, and we'll cover a little bit of new material. We'll finish out the five suggestions that this per had, Mr. Wilson.